This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's hump day.
Hey, you big and hairy, dude. Run in.
Let me introduce myself. My name is Humpty. Pronounced with the Humpty.
This is an NFL Hump Day Roundup with Isaac and Sue.
If y'all ain't excited about this game, you can't get excited about no other games, man.
It's Wednesday. Hump Day with Isaac and Sue on 1080.
The Humpty Dance. Here's your chance.
The Hump.
Before we hump, I want to read some text here on this Astros thing. You people are funny. You're funny. Well, Potter's going with the libs hate the Astros defense.
Yeah.
You know, fake news.
Yeah, deny.
Everybody's doing it, which is good. I mean, that there is certainly a nice little blueprint for that from POTUS. You know, they wrote the book on that.
When you're dead to rights and you don't really have anything.
It's a great thing to go to.
Yeah, you just
fake news. Yeah. Somebody is asking how the Astros were better on the road than at home in 2017, because that's what Dusty tried to throw out there, apparently.
That was his?
Well, I guess the only way
new and creative ways to cheat? Who knows?
First of all, knowing every pitch that's coming, or when off-speed pitches are coming, or when fastballs, I mean, it's not the end-all to be-all. It's not like you're going to win every game because of that.
There is a nice chart out there, though, that points out like the strikeout-to-walk ratio. It puts it in a graph. It's like every Major League Baseball team. And for the most part, everyone's kind of grouped together. And then there's one outlier that's out in left field. And that would be the Houston Astros.
Yeah, but that was this past year.
Yeah.
So maybe they're finding new ways to cheat.
I don't know.
But and they're just a really good team. I mean,
they were the best team in baseball. But I think that's what kind of pisses people off, like with the Patriots. It's like, you're that good. Why are you cheating? Be that much better.
Yeah. To be that much better, that's right. And somebody else said, hey, the punishment for the Astros should be that they have to switch front offices with the Mariners. That's fantastic.
Boy, that I don't wish that on anybody.
That's a win for the M's.
Yeah, I'd say so. Hey, the Mariners should be cheating harder.
I've got a black guy edition of some quarterback talk for you guys. I wanted to point something out to you.
Rush Limbaugh's pissed about this?
And Rush. Well, you know Rush. He was... He was pretty hard on Donovan McNabb back in the day.
Yes, because we all wanted him to succeed. The media did because he was black.
So when was the black quarterback, I say stigma, when was that blown up? Did McNabb blow that up? We had Doug Williams. When did it not even become a thing anymore?
I think that's a fairly recent phenomenon. And some people, by the way, would say that it's still not blown up. I think there are a lot of people out there that still want to say that when you talk about black quarterbacks, you still talk about mobile, dual threat, and this idea that the black quarterback isn't a pure pocket guy.
Well, there was a little bit of a hubbub in Chicago sports radio yesterday or 2 days ago where Ryan Pace admitted that he didn't even sit down with an interview with Deshaun Watson when he drafted Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah.
And some were saying that he had a certain image in mind of the quarterback he wanted in Chicago, and Watson was not that.
Yeah, all right. Well, I can totally see that. I mean, look, nobody's going to take all the bias out of this stuff. I'm just saying, like, generally speaking, it's not a thing anymore when it wasn't that long ago that it was.
It was a huge thing. I think there's elements to it, but I think largely by most rational people, it's been dismissed.
Right. So I was just looking at adjusted QBR the other day. Mm-hmm. Which is a new stat, more honed in quarterback rating stat. The top five in adjusted quarterback rating, right meow, are all black.
So you got what? Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, is it Kyler Murray?
Dak Prescott.
Dak Prescott.
Everybody forgets about Dak. He's black too, Jason.
Rat farts.
Those five are the top five in adjusted QBR. They are all black, which I thought was fantastic.
Well, it is interesting that the NFL is predominantly African-American. It's not NBA levels. I think the NBA is high 70s maybe low 80s. I don't think the NFL is that I don't think it's that skewed. But there are positions, DBs, receivers, running backs that are not exclusively, but are largely African-American. And it was the exact opposite with quarterbacks. It used to be that the white quarterbacks and then an African-American quarterback was the absolute exception. And now I still think it's a predominantly played by white guys, but you are seeing it become more and more. And that's interesting. I'm guessing that is the first time ever.
Gotta
this
be.
Late
I mean,
in
not
season
even close.
That the top five have all been African-American.
I wouldn't even have to look that up to say that's true.
Well, and your top two MVPs. Well, how about this? If you're going to go through your top three MVPs, two are black quarterbacks and one's a white running back. The hell is going on?
What is happening?
Cats and dogs living together?
Oh, my God.
If you went back like 25 years, Jimmy the Greek would have a heart attack. Like, what?
No kidding.
That'd be a white guy running the rock and catching everything. And a couple African-Americans are out there changing the way the quarterback position.
I'd also like to state this. Russell Wilson is, of course, getting his due. He's been in the league a long time. And people, the Russell Wilson haters have simply just shut up because they know.
Yeah.
They know. That guy is MVP good.
Yes.
Then you have Mahomes, who just freak. Like, everybody knows how good he is. He's already made his statement in the league, right?
Yeah.
And he's one of the younger ones. And then you have Lamar Jackson, who gets crapped on by the likes of racist white folks like you.
Clearly.
And then comes out and enters himself into the MVP conversation way better than anybody expected. I think that Dak Prescott is better than anybody gives him credit for. As a matter of fact, I thought in that Minnesota game the other night, he was really good, even though they lost. And so he's not being lauded as much because the Cowboys are 5-4. I think Dak Prescott is really freaking good.
Yeah.
For some reason, there seems to be this old Russell Wilson stigma about him that he's just a check down artist or he's a game manager. I don't see that when I watch him. I think he's awesome.
I think he has grown. I think that some of the stuff from Dak comes from he doesn't throw the ball as well as some of the other top tier quarterbacks. And I think there's still, and I'm guilty of this.
You think that's true, though?
I think it's true.
God, I think I see him slinging it around and
I think
tight windows.
When it comes to that stigma of, if you want to say it's an African-American quarterback thing, to me, it's more of a style of play. And that is, well, dual threat, mobile, whatever you... Quarterbacks that win more with their legs than their arms traditionally have not worked out long-term in the NFL. And Dak certainly has shed that label. Lamar Jackson is starting, I think, to shed that a little bit, but that to me wasn't an element of race. That was an element of style of play. It just so happens that most of the athletic quarterbacks that play that way that come into the league are African-American. And so that race becomes a component to it. But I think Josh Allen falls into this. Josh Allen's best, but he doesn't get, and this is where I think some people are still going to say the race card comes into play, because Josh Allen, I don't think, throws a very good ball. But Josh Allen's best asset he has is the ability to run around and make plays with his legs. But Josh Allen doesn't get talked about in the same way that Dak did early on, or Russell Wilson, or Lamar Jackson. They don't get viewed as runaround type quarterbacks. Well, and a lot of people are still going to say that's the color of skin.
I don't know. I think all that stuff's blown up. Lamar Jackson's certainly more like Mike Vick, but then you have a guy like Dak or Mahomes or somebody that's more like Donovan McNabb. They're a passer. That's just what they are. So I think it's all BS anyway, but there is one of those guys, and I haven't mentioned him yet, the other guy we were talking about. When he is eligible, he will pass Aaron Rodgers for the all-time highest quarterback rating in football. This is not adjusted quarterback rating. Aaron Rodgers right now has the highest QBR ever.
This
guy,
year?
No, to career.
Oh, career.
This guy hasn't quite gotten enough snaps yet, but when he does, or games, or however they, I think it's games.
Russell Wilson?
No, it's Deshaun Watson.
Get right the hell out of town.
No, I'm not going to. I live here. How about that? Who would have guessed that?
I would not
have. Deshaun Watson is way, well, people give him credit. I won't say he's way better than anybody gives him credit for.
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson is legit.
Yes.
All those guys are legit.
And Deshaun Watson has done it largely behind, kind of like Russell Wilson, behind a bit of a janky offensive line.
Oh,
for all the talk of like the you know, Trubisky or Josh Allen, I got to play behind a better line. No, you don't if you're good enough, because neither one of those guys plays behind a good line, and you're really stinking talented still. And to think that, once again, the Chicago Bears could have had Deshaun Watson.
Lamar Jackson, back to him. Somebody tweeted this out. I thought it was great. He has started 16 career games, so that's a full season.
Yeah.
Bill, it's a full season. Regular season, anyway. Wins. He has 13. This is Lamar Jackson I'm talking about?
Yeah.
In those 16 games, Lamar Jackson has 13 wins. Patrick Mahomes, 12. Rushing yards. Lamar Jackson, first 16 career starts, 1,258. LaDainian Tomlinson, 1,236.
That's ridiculous.
Passer rating. Lamar Jackson, first 16 career starts, 94.4. Tom Brady, 90.1.
Suck it, Tom.
Yards per attempt. First 16 career starts. Lamar Jackson, 7.6. Aaron Rodgers, 7.5.
So what you're saying is Lamar Jackson through 16 games, really good.
Completion percentage, first 16 career starts, Lamar Jackson 63%, Drew Brees 61%.
I think we've established.
So suck on that.
Really good. My only thing about Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson better already than I thought he would be. Two things about Lamar Jackson, though. Traditionally, mobile quarterbacks haven't aged well. They just haven't. And that style of play has eventually catches up to you. Minus Cam Newton, and that took him 8 years, but we've now seen it catch up to him. Can Lamar Jackson be the guy that bucks that trend? Can he keep running like he is and stay healthy, stay this athletic, and just be that much of a better athlete? And can that pocket game still continue to evolve? Because he is becoming a much better passer, and they do a really good job of using him. And is the way the game is played now and not really being able to hit, especially when you run, you can slide down now. Is this going to open up a new era of quarterbacks where you can play this style more and not get beat up? And is he going to be the guy to usher it in? And the other one is, we've seen this from quarterbacks early on, and I say this about, I don't care who you are, whether you're a pocket quarterback, whether you're a mobile quarterback. Once the NFL gets a look at you two, three times, it gets harder. See, Pat Mahomes this year, and I know there's a lot more that goes into that, but Pat Mahomes lit the world on fire, but towards the end of last year, you saw some teams kind of start to figure some stuff out. The Rams certainly had this. Teams will adjust to what the Ravens are doing. And when you give them, it's like a batting order, right, in baseball. First time you see a pitcher, hardest time. See him a second, third time around, it gets harder on the guy up there on the bump. So can Lamar Jackson, that Raven offense, continue to evolve? I'm not saying they can't, but don't anoint anyone after 16 games. It's just too early. That being said, if it's not Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson's the MVP of this league.
55305. So this is Deal. He says, so Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, and Joe Burrows have the weight of an entire race on their shoulders?
I'm asking where the white power rankings go.
Well, apparently they do, according to Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah. Well, and two, well, Burrows is more, not just Burrows, Herbert too.
It's Burrow, by the way.
I keep saying Burrows. I don't know why
it's
that
confusing.
Is. I know Burrows sounds,
I think
more
it's
natural
Joe Burrow.
A lot of people say Burrows.
It is.
Yeah.
It's Burrow. It's, there's not an S on the end.
Well, he should put one on there.
But Burrows sounds better than Burrow.
It's his
Joe
problem.
Burrow, Joe Burrows. Him and Herbert are both more mobile than anyone gives him credit for. Like, Herbert refuses to run, and I get why they don't want him to get hurt. But if you go back to early in his career, remember he broke the collarbone. He was on a quarterback run, scored a touchdown on, if I'm not mistaken. Herbert can scoot. That guy's got like ostrich legs. That guy can run a little bit. And Burrow, not Burrows, killed Alabama running the ball. So both of those guys more athletic than anyone gives them credit for. But when you're kind of a weird looking tall white guy, we don't give you any love. It's like Andrew Luck. If you go back and look at Andrew Luck's combine numbers, they're, you know who they're most similar to?
Cam Newton.
And we're talking about vert and running and, you know, speed wise, but Andrew Luck didn't get viewed that way. And Aaron Rodgers is a really mobile quarterback. Like, Russell Wilson is amazing, but I don't consider Russell Wilson a running quarterback. Russell Wilson is just mobile. He moves around, but so is Aaron Rodgers. But we don't label Aaron Rodgers as a mobile quarterback when he is. Both of those guys, probably the two best in the league at extending plays in the pocket and moving around.
Hey, one last thing about Lamar Jackson, then we'll move on to the news of the day in the NFL. But 538 wrote about this. You remember when the Chargers played him back-to-back, regular season and then the playoffs?
Yeah.
They played the Ravens last year. And they threw all those DBs out there, and they were widely lauded for doing that because they basically just said, hey, with Lamar Jackson at quarterback, we just want faster guys on the field. So they sat all their linebackers and threw DBs in their spot.
Yeah.
Why is no one else doing that?
I don't know.
Bill Belichick didn't even do that. That worked against the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, and no one has done it since all year.
Might be something that they've tweaked in their offense in the offseason to bring a different level to it. Well, part of it, too, is it's, if I'm not mistaken, that's the number one rushing attack in the NFL. Tough to have 6 DBs, 7 DBs out there when they can ram it right down your throat because they run the ball real well, whether it's with Lamar or not. The Ravens can run the rock.
Yeah, but weren't they doing that last year, too?
Yeah, not to this level.
Whoa, there goes our music. 416, we'll be back with more in the NFL on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Just one last thing on the Lamar Jackson thing. I was talking about that 538 story about the Chargers. When the Chargers played them in the playoffs, they beat him 23-17 a week after being torched by Lamar Jackson. And they had some injuries to their linebackers, so they were kind of forced into playing it this way, but they played all those DBs instead of linebackers on 58 of 59 snaps, and Lamar Jackson rushed for 3.9 yards per play. Yeah. Is that right? Yards gained per play, 3.9. Per pass attempt, 6.7, and, of course, the Chargers won. This year, they ran the numbers. Three teams have thrown 7 DBs out there at least once, and that's it. The Dolphins did it once. The Chiefs did it twice, and the Patriots did it once. That is it. He saw 58 of that look against the Chargers, and he's seen it 4 times combined this year.
My guess is it's the rushing attack, and not having watched the film, right? I'm just throwing that out there, but that, my guess is they run the ball so effectively that you can't be that small. It's like going small ball, but the team's killing you on the boards, yeah. Right? You can't do it.
One point they make in here is that they think that if a team's going to do it, they're going to do it in the playoffs. They're going to do it in the... It's like Belichick, you know, that regular season game was a big game, but at the same time, he ain't going to pull out all the stops in that game.
Yep.
You know, come playoff time, maybe a little bit different story.
We do know that for a lot of these offenses that wreck the league, and we see it, and this is, you know, the Ravens offense right now is really good. By the way, they lost to the Cleveland Browns, so let's not act like it's unstoppable. But we've seen offenses plow through regular seasons. The Chiefs have done it, the Rams done it, the Ravens are doing it this year. The Patriots did it the year they had Randy Moss. We have seen offenses over the years. Remember that Minnesota team with Randall Cunningham and Chris Carter, Randy Moss? That team was ridiculous. But you get to the postseason, it's harder sledding. You know, it's just like you said, there's more that goes into it. And you got a whole body of work. A lot of these teams have seen you play multiple times now in person, and you're going to come up with a different plan, there's a different intensity. And it's a lot harder to go out and just roll through a postseason. You know, defense and running the ball. That's the stuff that carries you to championships.
Couple of other things, some perp news.
By the way, the Ravens, as far as rushing yards per game, number 2 in the league is San Francisco at .160. The Ravens are almost at 200.
Damn.
I mean, they're awesome. And obviously they run the ball well, but you throw in Lamar Jackson's whatever it is, 60 or 70 yards he's averaging a game. That certainly helps.
Did you see that they have linked Aaron Hernandez to a 4th murder?
No, but that sounds about right.
The late Aaron Hernandez, remember, he is dead.
Yes.
He killed himself.
Yeah, hung himself.
In prison. They are saying now that his goons and he were out looking to kill Odin Lloyd, the guy who they did end up killing.
Yeah.
And before they killed Lloyd, they killed the wrong guy.
What?
In a drive-by at his house. Yeah.
So they shot someone and then they're like, whoops, wrong guy. Let's just invite him to get in the car?
What? No, this is a separate incident. This is before the Odin Lloyd thing.
I know, but...
They're looking for Odin Lloyd. They went on a drive-by...
To kill Odin
Lloyd.
Shot
who they thought was Odin Lloyd in his home.
Yeah.
And but that guy died, and it was not Odin Lloyd, and then they killed Odin Lloyd.
But this is my point. Why did they have to do that when they just invited Odin Lloyd into the car and he went along? Seems like that would be an easier way, the way they did it. Although they got caught, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, no, I think the drive-by... They didn't know who killed... The guy in the drive-by for until now.
Yeah. How about that?
And inviting him into the car is how they got caught. So
is his like, how many total do you think he has?
Well, they pinned him to 4 now.
I know. So if that's the... You got to tell me... You can't tell me that that's it, though. If you've been caught for 4, chances are there's another 1 or 2, right?
But don't you think they would have uncovered that by now if he's... I mean, he's been under the microscope.
Who the hell knows? All I know is that is a bad man, and the world does not miss him.
Do you remember Kellen Winslow Jr.?
I do remember him.
The Warrior.
Yes.
Well, he has pled guilty to raping an unconscious teen. This was back in 2003. And he also has been charged with sexual battery of a 54-year-old hitchhiker in 2018. He was the one who was outside the woman's like mobile home or something without his shirt on. And he had been inside and he raped her. And this was an old woman. Dude, weird stuff going on with him.
He was charged with a lot of different stuff. And I guess he ended up taking a plea deal because...
That's right.
Because the first trial, I think, was a hung jury, if I remember correctly. He was going to go be retried. And the charges that he were facing, it was like 80 years in prison.
Brutal.
So he took it in hopes that... What was it, like a 12 to 20-year sentence that he was in line for? And he was hoping for the...
He wants 12.
Yeah, he wants the...
He wants 12.
The lenient one.
So in agreeing to a plea deal, he avoided a retrial on 6 other felonies down in San Diego, which included kidnapping, sodomy, forced oral copulation, and 2 charges of forcible rape. I mean, how about this guy?
Yeah, he's a...
Good grief.
He's an awful, awful human being.
So he says that he hopes that he gets 12 and then he can go home to his family. Do you think 12's enough?
No.
Not at all.
I don't, because I honestly think he's one of those guys that... The human dues have not been paid. So, no. Go away. Go away.
What else do we have, JC Babes, today? Oh, the Jets owner says Adam Gase will be back as their head coach.
It's a bold statement. Like, in the midst of this S show, why wouldn't you wait until the season was over and then kind of reevaluate?
Well, isn't this his first year?
Yeah, this is his first year.
I mean, maybe give him 2 years?
Yeah, guys get fired all the time after 1 year.
I know, but I don't think that's right. I mean, at least give him 2, 3.
You know, some of the shine's coming off him. I also saw this one, too. So, Joe Staley.
They won last week.
Yeah, they did, but they still suck.
And they're going to win this week, too.
Who are they playing?
Well, they're playing the Redskins.
That doesn't mean they're going to win.
Oh, I'm predicting it.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
2-game win streak for my Jets.
I also saw that Joe Staley, the big tackle of the 49ers that had been out since week 2, he had the broken leg. You know, he just came back this last week, and neither tackle, who had been out for an extended period of time for the Niners, played very well at all against Seattle. He's out again. He had surgery on his finger.
Oh, man.
So
yeah, they're really banged up out there in San Francisco.
You're the Niners. Like, you were just like, all right, we're playing well. We're undefeated. We're going to get better. Wait till our tackles come back. Well, now one of those tackles, your best one, is now out for another extended period of time. He had surgery on his finger.
Well, in their defense, they did go undefeated without him.
That's true.
And then lost when he came back.
Well, it's there had to be some rust, because the Seahawks defense has not been very good all year, and they rolled through that Niners offensive line. Staley did not have a very good game at all. Now, to be fair, he was going against Jadeveon Clowney, who had the game of his life, but... I honestly, of all the things that happened in that game, and I know it's O-line play, so I don't know how many people paid attention to it. That, to me, was one of the biggest shockers, was how poorly that Staley played against Clowney and really anyone who was on that side.
It looked like in that game, both offensive lines were overmatched.
Yes.
And I thought that the Seahawks did a better job of handling that, which is maybe ultimately why they won, although that game could have gone either way. Anyway, the Niners lost Breida for 1 to 2 weeks. Sanders is out. Kittle is out. Staley is out. And there was one other guy. Wasn't a linebacker go out of that game?
Yeah, and I didn't see what happened to him. I didn't see what the long-term prognosis. For Seattle, though, I guess Lockett is out of the hospital. He's flying back, and they said, well, they got a bye this week. Say he's not going to miss any time. Said he should be good to go when they come back. He had that contusion that they worried about cutting off the blood flow, but spent a couple days in the hospital. I guess it's all good, and he's flying back to Seattle.
That's great. I thought that Josh Gordon, you know, he was only out there for like...
A couple big catches.
A quarter of their snaps or something. It was like 38 snaps of however many they had, but... maybe a little more than a quarter, but he had a couple of huge catches. If you put if Lockett's healthy and then you have Metcalf and Gordon, dude, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's a good receiver.
You got to feel good about that.
At least I'm not.
Because I don't think Metcalf's all that reliable. I think he's good, but he's not as reliable as Gordon. They went to Gordon on 2 huge, a couple slants, and he
Dude, well, I'm still not convinced that Metcalf is a real well-rounded receiver. He's a big red zone target, and he's just a big physical specimen.
Yeah, but you can't count on him for the big catch. No, you can count on Lockett, and I think you can count on Gordon.
Lockett is fantastic. And the Gordon one, again, we'll wait and see. I am of the mindset that Gordon at this point may just be a name, but in a short period of time, he had a couple big catches there, but boy, that would scare me if you are putting a lot of faith saying that going forward, Josh Gordon is a big part of what you're doing offensively.
Well, I don't know that he's a big part, but I think that it's important to have a guy you can count on.
Sure.
It doesn't mean he has to have 150 yards. Lockett is good. Metcalf can break stuff. It's just you need guys that are reliable. And I think at least in that game, he looked like it, even though he wasn't up to speed on everything they were doing.
And you know who is freaking fantastic is Jacob Hollister. Like, what the hell?
Where
did that come from? Scout team guy, right? And then practice squad. Next thing you know, he's just out there. They are not where they are at right now without that young man.
Hey, real quick.
Huge.
We forgot to talk about this yesterday when we were talking about the Seahawks-Niners game.
Yeah.
Did you know, so when Metcalf got stripped there at the three and the guy, got the ball and all that.
Yeah, great play, by the way.
Did you know that... of the rule that you could be out of bounds and touching the ball and it's okay?
Well,
you know about that?
I don't know that specific rule, but when I saw it, I thought to myself, now if he had stripped that ball while he was out of bounds, that would not have counted because then he would be out of bounds. But because he waited until he was in bounds to strip it, then he was fine because he technically wasn't. He didn't have the ball.
But he had his hands on the ball.
Yeah.
Didn't they say on the broadcast, the important thing here is, because they go to the official guy.
Yeah.
He says, the important thing is he has his hands on the ball while out of bounds.
It was a weird.
So it would have been different had he not had his hands on the ball and been out of bounds. Then it would have been an illegal strip because he came back in bounds and stripped it.
When I saw that, there was part of me that was like, what the hell? And then when they explained it, I was like, oh, that kind of makes sense. But that was a bizarre play in a game full of bizarre plays.
Dude, that game was awesome, and that play was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, not if you're a Seahawks fan, but...
great effort.
I've never seen anything like that.
No, not quitting on a play. Although... the Seahawks right tackle did strip Russell Wilson of the ball. I went back and watched that. It looks to me
that ball's out.
It looks to me like he rips it out of his arm. And Fetty's like, this is mine.
That popped out and it dropped right into Fetty's bread basket.
If you say so, it looked like he stripped it and wanted the glory. He was going to go rumbling.
All right, coming up next on In the News, how many boxes does this story check to make you think that Big John is in some trouble? That will kick off the news when we return. But first, Mike, sports.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, it's 4:36 here on The Fan. Big sports day. As far as you know. I mean, it isn't really, but...
take our word for it.
Yeah, it's a Wednesday, So it is November 13th, 2019. It is time for In the News. I am your noted newsman, local news you can use. It is World Kindness Day.
Oh, so be kind.
Yes, it is also Sadie Hawkins Day.
Now, all I know about Sadie Hawkins is that's the girl choose guy dance. I have no idea why it's called Sadie Hawkins or...
yeah, I don't either. I assume it has something to do with Sadie herself.
Well, I thought maybe you would have that.
Oh, no.
With it being Sadie Hawkins Day.
No, all I remember about Sadie Hawkins Day... is that was kick-ass when some girl asked you.
Yeah, you always felt
you're like,
good.
Oh, man, now I know how girls feel.
You're not a complete loser. You're like, yes.
Right.
Unless you didn't get chose, then, that sucks.
We ever did anything for that this day.
No?
Wait, what?
I don't think
you never
my
had
school
Sadie Hawkins?
Never did this, no.
Where the girl asked the dude? The girl asked the boy?
Always a good feeling.
Apparently, Sadie...
unless it's someone that you don't want to go with. And then, again, you know how girls feel, and that's really awkward.
Well, you also have the thing where it's like you're holding out for someone. You're like, ooh,
yeah.
I wonder if she's going to ask me. And then somebody else asks you, and you're like, oh.
you got to play the
can
odds.
Can I think
like,
about it?
Got to wait a week or so on this. I'm waiting out a better option.
Well, apparently Sadie was an American, I don't know, she was in a book or something. I don't even know if she was a real person.
That's the least detailed report you've ever given on this program. And let me tell you
something. That's all you need to know.
That is saying something, because we've given a lot of nondescript reports.
Yeah.
All
right. I don't know.
So girls, if you've got it, basically, if you're a girl and you got a crush on someone, tell him, ask him something.
Well, I mean, they still do Sadie Hawkins Day, right? At the high schools?
Couldn't tell you.
Or maybe even, was it middle school? That wasn't middle school.
I don't know.
I was going to say, I went to high school after you guys, but still a while ago now, and I was like, I've never heard of this.
You've never even heard of it?
Never heard
of it. So they never had a dance where the girls asked the boys?
We only had like one dance a year, and it was prom. So
the point is, girls, if you've got a crush on Mike Lynch, shoot your shot.
We had homecoming, but I don't think there was a dance involved.
You didn't have a homecoming dance? What school did you go to?
I went to Teaneck High School.
Were you homeschooled?
No.
I can see you being homeschooled and not admitting to it.
All right. How many boxes does this story check to make you think it might be Big John? Now, by Big John, I mean your brother.
Yeah. Was there another Big John? Big Bad John?
Well, it was just in the interest of clarity.
Okay.
Now, he lives in Washougal, right?
Yes, he does.
Okay, this story comes to us from Washougal. Aha!
Guilty.
A homeowner is in the hospital after being attacked by burglars at his house in Washougal.
Now, I have not heard from my brother for a couple days.
Well, the 44-year-old homeowner, isn't that how old your brother is? He's at least 44, if not 45.
Yeah, he's 44.
He's 44.
No, he's 45. Because he's 5 years older than me.
Well, let's pretend he's 44.
Yeah, he just turned. He just turned.
Just turned, okay. So maybe they got it wrong.
It's possible.
44-year-old homeowner called police to say that he had interrupted a burglary at his house and that he had suffered injuries to his head and arm during a struggle with one of the suspects.
Okay.
Initial reports state the man was upstairs in his home watching TV.
That's right up John's alley.
There's another box check.
100%.
And he later came downstairs to use his computer. Which I believe is another box check.
I can see that.
When he noticed computer was missing, he walked outside and came across an armed, masked man. A struggle ensued, and the suspect was joined by at least two other suspects. The homeowner told deputies he fired a shotgun toward the suspects. That, to me, is another checkbox.
Now, I will tell you that a number of years ago, I got John a shotgun for Christmas.
See?
Mm-hmm.
It's John.
This is 100% John.
We need to make sure he's okay. he fired a shotgun toward the suspects, and they fled in a newer, dark-colored Toyota Tacoma or Tundra pickup. Hmm. I'm always fascinated by that. You know, you got a burglar in a pretty nice truck.
Well,
you know? It's like those people that steal packages from Porges.
It's a lucrative sort of business. It's a growth industry, my man.
The homeowner was taken to the Southwest Washington Medical Center with injuries to his head and arm. No word on his current condition.
Now, what were they?
So text him.
Now, this dude, my brother, was armed with a shotgun. It said that the burglars were armed. What were they armed with?
Didn't say.
Okay.
A neighbor was the first to call 911. This is after 9 o'clock last night to report gunshots and screaming and then a vehicle revving its engine.
Yikes.
How about the engine? The old school engine rev?
All over a computer?
They took his computer.
No offense, but look, I get it. You got to defend your property, but
that is kind of weird.
It's a computer. Maybe
there's something more to that story.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What's on the computer?
Or
well, look, this happens. Look, I'm not trying to throw any shade at this, but a lot of times you read these stories and it's like man's assaulted in his home and like nothing appears missing or something minor missing, and they can't say what's really missing or why they broke into the house because, you know, it's illegal.
Turns out his stash of cocaine that he had in there is...
Yeah, something like that.
You know the Park Rose High School student who brought the gun to school and was disarmed by the great, heroic Keenan Lowe?
I don't know him personally, but I am aware of the story.
His name is Angel Granados Diaz. That's the kid's name. They are now combing through the details of that event. They say he did pull the trigger.
Really?
He did.
On himself?
Yep. It was the gun was aimed.
Fire.
Yep. Well, it didn't go off.
Maybe he didn't rack it.
Yep. It did. Something happened, and Keenan Lowe heard the click.
Oh.
And that's when the video, you can see in the video, Keenan Lowe going and taking the gun from him and then hugging him.
So if you don't know, like he only had the one shot. He went in with the intent to
kill himself.
To kill himself in front of the class.
He's 18.
And he's, you know, he's damn lucky, one, that Keenan Lowe is there, and two, probably my guess is what happened is when you put a bullet into any gun, you got to chamber one. There's a difference between loading a gun and then having it ready to go. So, like in a shotgun, if you just put one in, you have to rack the shotgun in order for it to actually fire. So, kid's damn lucky, and hopefully the kid gets the help he needs and, you know, makes a recovery from this.
Here are the details. Granados Diaz was across the hall in a single-occupant bathroom retrieving a loaded shotgun. There was only one shell in the chamber. Written on it, the phrase, "The last red pill, 5/17/19, just for me." He had stashed the firearm in a gold-colored garment bag to avoid detection. Just as Keenan Lowe asked students in the classroom where to find Granados Diaz, the young man entered with the gun pointed at his torso. Both the teen and the security guard widely hailed for saving him, that's Lowe, told investigators that Granados Diaz then pulled the trigger, but nothing happened. Boy.
Yeah, it's...
That's when Lowe wrestled the firearm from Granados Diaz.
Yeah, maybe the safety was on. Who knows? Maybe it was just a misfire. Maybe someone was just looking down from above, and the kid, you know, the kid's going to get a second chance at this thing.
It's crazy. All right, up next, do you perform routine moneymaker maintenance?
I don't know. My guess is
how
no.
How do you not know? What's your moneymaker?
My moneymaker?
Your pipes, right?
Oh.
For you?
I thought you were talking about my backside.
Your butt?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe you. Maybe your butt makes you some money. I'm not sure what you do in your spare time. I've always wanted to touch your taint. Whoa.
I dance at Darcel's on the weekend.
The
is
story
it
of.
Silverado's? Which one?
I think. I don't remember.
I don't know.
Mike would know. Mike?
I'll be at the Dolphin.
I don't know.
I'll be at the Dolphin on the weekend.
I will have the story of Twisted Stripper.
All right.
For you. Moneymaker maintenance. Next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
On the topic of dances, middle school, high school dances, Mike only remembers his prom. Others pointing out not only Sadie Hawkins, but she would then have homecoming, but also winter formal was another one too.
Yeah, ours wasn't called winter formal. Ours was, we had a winter dance, but it was not a winter formal.
Perhaps these are traumatic moments for Mike. He's blocked them out.
No, I just looked it up. I just looked up my high school and Sadie Hawkins. Not even one thing even remotely close to a Google search promoting it.
Now, Mike,
did you cut a rug? Did you go to school dances?
I went to the prom.
Is that the only one?
Yeah.
Just one?
Well, that's all they had.
I went to the prom my senior year.
Well, we went twice, junior and senior.
What?
Why are you looking at me like that?
Well,
you seem confused.
No.
Did you go twice or once?
I went three times.
Whoa!
I got asked by a senior my sophomore year.
Yeah,
look
you
at
did.
You.
Yeah, you did.
Look at you.
Yeah, you did. Other people bringing up MORP, which is prom backwards. They had that at their school, and so prom backwards is spelled MORP, and that's where the girls would ask the boys.
Okay.
And Sadie Hawkins originally comes from a hillbilly comic strip called Lil Abner.
Oh, I know Lil Abner.
Yeah, that's where she's from. That's where the whole Sadie Hawkins event came from.
No idea.
Not a real person, though. So don't get any bright ideas.
No.
So can't.
I'm guessing there is a Sadie Hawkins out there, though.
Well, we did hear from someone named Sadie on our Better You Today text line, and she was none too happy that we brought that up.
Oh.
Because I assume being named Sadie and having to go through Sadie Hawkins week or whatever is probably, you know how high school is.
Oh, yeah.
This is a story from, where is this?
I don't know.
Well, it's in Portland, but I'm trying to find out where it actually
That's
is.
That's what we had, by the way. It was Tolo.
Instead What's
of,
that?
And that was our winter dance.
Tolo?
Tolo. Instead of winter formal, we had Tolo. I don't know what Tolo stood for, but it was a winter themed. Like you wore Santa hats and there was candy canes and it's like a non-denominational Christmas sort of dance thing. Tolo. Okay. That's what it was.
Right.
Thank you whoever came up with Tolo.
Well, we have a local stripper by the name of Carly Morell.
Working at Google right now.
Who has, she's now a certified personal trainer, and she has opened up a place called Twisted Stripper.
Oh.
And she is getting rave reviews for her Twisted Stripper Fitness Camps. And she has tailored it to
what is that
strippers.
Line? Is that Crazy Sexy Love with Ryan Gosling? He said, the war of the sexes is over. We won the moment they started doing pole dancing for exercise. Ah, good times.
She's calling it Money Maker Maintenance.
Mm.
And it's not just for strippers. So, guys, you know.
All right, well.
You could maybe head in there.
Let's make this happen.
See what's going on
in
there.
Can the pole hold me, though? I'm a little nervous.
Well.
Is there a weight limit on the pole?
It's not just, it's not really that as much. Okay, so she runs the class.
Give
her name
me the
is,
pole.
Just give me the pole. Carly Morrell. And she says most strippers are self-taught and favor a particular side of their body to twirl around the pole and do other nightly tricks. And I've seen some great tricks in
clubs. I'm going to need to go left-hand side because, quite frankly, the right is a little, it's a little janky, that shoulder.
See, I'd go, see, I'm a lefty.
So I got to go left.
If I'd go.
But the left hand isn't very good either.
Mm.
Maybe I focus on leg work. Maybe that needs to be my MO.
Mine would be sitting on the rack talking to patrons with my charm.
You'd be a twerker. Let's be honest. You're getting on. You're
oh,
getting
I
on
can
the,
twerk.
You're getting on the ground. You're going ground level.
But I'm not that one that goes all the way up into the rafters, you know, and then.
Yeah.
And then pirouettes down. It's
scary.
Like, ah, dude, I'd break
my
neck.
A lot of angry, aggressive movements.
So she says, hey, we're hanging from tendons and ligaments, and we're not engaging proper muscles. There are a lot of corrective exercises that are in this class, so I don't call it booty boot camp. I call it money maker maintenance.
Gotta engage the core.
She's been a proud stripper herself since 2012. It's why she came up with Twisted Stripper, which, by the way, that's a great name.
It is.
And it's the first ever, at least in Portland, workout class, and it is... Oh, I'm sorry, guys, you cannot go. It's only for dancers.
Oh, for hell's sakes.
Dancing?
This is ridiculous. I want to protest.
Well, they don't want creepo dudes in there. Can you imagine how many creeps would show up for that?
Can I work out at Curves instead?
12 women take her class in Portland's Hollywood District, and the word is spreading. They meet once a week for 6 weeks. Then a new series starts, and she has lots of inquiries from girls who have heard good things, and they want to get on the self-care, and they want to untwist their spines. See, you know the strippers, man.
The self-care.
Hey, you got
that's what this
you
got
to protect that moneymaker. Hey, you go on the DL.
That's true.
You can't make monies.
No, I think that's where Aflac comes in. You need that supplemental insurance in case
that's
you
right.
blow something out.
No exceptions. Only strippers.
Mm. Well, I'm a little disappointed.
So
that
you can
I...
go to CarlyFit.com.
Now, what happens if I identify as female, though?
I don't
this
know.
This is very Portland.
She denies you, and then you sue her, and then
oh, I mean,
then we talk about you on In the News.
Yeah. Why can't I show up in some yoga pants and a wig and be like, no, I'm here to spin.
I think that's all we have time for.
It's a nice way to end it.
Yeah. So if you know any strippers, you can send them to that.
I don't.
That
I don't.
Class.
I don't. Unfortunately,
I will say,
I don't run in those circles.
Can we just take a moment here on World Kindness Day to say that, you know, we don't, we often take for granted the talents mm-hmm. of strippers.
Sure.
And we shouldn't.
No. No, we should not.
So, ladies, great job.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Kudos to you.
You are much better than you are ever given the credit for.
Yeah.
At your craft.
Well, I certainly couldn't do it.
Well, hell no, you couldn't do
no,
it.
No, some of
that's
that
what I'm saying.
Some
like,
of that stuff is
they're
impressive.
Athletes.
Yes.
Athletes out there.
I think there'd be a lot of skin burns.
And you got to deal with a lot of douchebags.
I know.
Can you imagine that?
First class creepos. High
heels. I am a douchebag.
All right. That is In the News for November 13th, 2019. Guess what tomorrow is? November 14th.
Oh. Makes sense.
Coming up next.
Wow.
The Hot 5 at 5 has the Cy Young winners. A little bit of a surprise there. We also have two big stars in college football who may not be on the field this weekend. And some NFL scheduling news. Oh, and the Blazers are back at it.
Yeah, that didn't
go. You going to watch that big game tonight?
That didn't go so well last night.
We'll get to them next hour as well. 4:57 on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.